Even as gas prices go down, the arrival of colder weather reminds us that we'll be spending more money on energy. Our homes will need to be made warm, and since there's less daylight or electricity use, that'll increase. The claims continue to be made that alternative energy sources will cut consumer costs while protecting the environment. Among those alternatives being urged is wind energy, which New Jersey's two U.S. senators are calling for a greater reliance on. My first guest this week joins us to discuss whether this is indeed a proper and consumer-friendly path to take. Here from the New Jersey chapter of Americans for Prosperity is Mike Proto. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Chris. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Good for you to be here, and I always like to try to get to some reality against some of the hype that takes place, especially with, well, in this case, wind energy. AmericansForProsperity.org/new-Jersey to get more info about what we're talking about here and the other activities of the New Jersey chapter. Came across a report that listed the adjusted fixed cost per megawatt hours for various energy resources. Conventional coal costs 69.5 cents. Gas 31.3 cents. Nuclear is 82.7 cents. Then you get to the greener situation. Hydro energy $1.10 per megawatt hour, and wind energy 82.9 cents. If you look at gas versus wind, just for an example, that's better than 2-to-1 greater cost for wind.
Well, I'll tell you what, the cost is actually even far greater than that, Chris. I mean, when you take a look at some of the information that the federal government puts out through the EPA, what's called the Energy Information Administration, they provide what's called levelized costs for plants that will be coming online in the future. And when you take a look at those costs alone, offshore wind is at least 3 times more expensive than natural gas. And those costs are really, they don't tell the entire story, because wind is so unreliable and inefficient and only produces electricity when the wind blows. It has to be backed up by traditional sources. So all of those costs are embedded in the costs to consumers, to ratepayers. That means more costs for you, the consumer, the ratepayer, in terms of heating your home, keeping your lights on, running a business here in the state of New Jersey.
And there is a difference, too. There's offshore wind turbines and onshore wind turbines, which either location, they're ugly as all get out. But the energy creation cost of the offshore, which is the stronger of the two being urged, is greater than the onshore, because therein lies a little problem. Onshore in New Jersey, there's not enough reliable wind energy or wind force to create the energy. But even with some maps I've seen by bipartisan sources, offshore of New Jersey, there's no guarantee of a steady wind source high enough to create the energy that would be needed from these sources.
Sure. I think one thing people need to understand, again, is that wind turbines only produce electricity when the wind is actually blowing at certain speeds. If there's not enough wind, of course, electricity is not produced. When the winds are too high, you actually have to shut them down, because the turbines can actually come apart. So therein is the real problem. And here in New Jersey, you're really talking about only a narrow swath of area along the Jersey shore where they can put the turbines, because if the water's too deep, they can't put them. So really, we'd be looking at our entire Jersey shore becoming littered with these eyesores, these wind turbines. While you're at the beach during the summer, at the shore during the summer with your family, you'll be looking at these things off the coastline.
Talking with Mike Proto from the New Jersey chapter of Americans for Prosperity, AmericansForProsperity.org/new-Jersey is their website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And a lot of people forget, I mean, obviously I preface this segment by saying that Senator Menendez and Booker are proponents of this whole idea of wind energy. This is really a follow-up to a law, a five-year-old law, which Chris Christie signed into law, and he stated himself that he is a proponent of offshore wind turbines.
Well, you know, look, the governor has, been on different sides of various environmental energy issues. As you know, Americans for Prosperity led the fight to remove our state from the RGGI cap-and-trade program. And it took about a year of grassroots pressure on the governor before he pulled out. And it was interesting that he mentioned that in the last primary debate. But what he failed to mention is that Americans for Prosperity was instrumental and pressuring him to leave that program.
Yeah, he was dragged kicking and screaming into that one.
Sure, and on the other hand, he signed this law, this offshore wind legislation back in, I believe, 2010 or 2011, and we believe it was a mistake from the get-go. Now, what's interesting is there's embedded in the law what's called a net economic benefits test, and really this project, this offshore project down off the coast of Atlantic City, has never been found to be viable. So the group that's behind it, it's called Fisherman's Energy, had to grovel to the federal government for a massive federal subsidy on the order of $47 million, Chris, just to make this look like it would be feasible. And still, the BPU here in New Jersey thankfully rejected their proposal. And by the way, I don't know if you know this, Chris, but that particular project, the wind turbines, would actually come from China.
Well, there's a
company
surprise.
In China. So you like to hear, you know, the left, the environmentalists like to talk about green jobs, but really this particular program would be subsidizing the purchase of windmills from really what amounts to the government of China.
Let's not get. We can also get into the stats of this is a great alternative energy, but don't tell that to birds or bats who are getting slaughtered by the thousands annually in places like England and Great Britain and Spain, where this has been tried. And I believe it was the British Prime Minister David Cameron finally said, and this was a direct quote: "We will scrap funds for wind farms."
Yeah, I mean, if you look at places like Europe, and they're really starting to back away from the wind and the solar, realizing that it's cost prohibitive, and it's really a drain on taxpayer resources. It's driving up their energy costs, and it's hurting their economy. I mean, let's not forget that this is a real blow to jobs, any place that it's tried. I mean, the studies that have been done on the offshore wind project here in New Jersey show that it's going to cost us thousands of jobs in the future. And again, just to be clear, from our perspective, what we really oppose are the subsidies for all of these energy sources, because otherwise they just would not be able to compete in the free market. Consumers would reject them because they would opt for more affordable sources such as natural gas. And we think that for real innovation to take place, you need a free market, and not for the taxpayers, the government, whether it's the state government or the federal government, to subsidize failure.
Well, on that note, too,
that's what they're doing.
On a unit of production basis, wind, I found this data, is subsidized 52 times more than conventional fossil fuels.
Yeah, I mean, there was a study done a few years ago. Again, this is with Federal Government Energy Information Administration data, but the Institute for Energy Research pulled that data together and showed that subsidies for wind were $56.29 per megawatt hour. And for all of the crying foul over subsidies for natural gas and coal, they're only getting 64 cents per megawatt hour. That's $57 almost versus 64 cents based on data that's from about 3 years ago. And again, a lot of those subsidies that you hear about for natural gas and traditional sources are actually subsidies to help consumers pay for their bill. Remember, this is a very regressive thing in terms of higher energy rates for consumers. I mean, if you're a low-income person, you're really hurt more when you see your electricity rates going up.
And that's not even factoring in unplanned power requirement for whatever the reason. Anything, it could be anything as ridiculous from a stadium event to Super Bowl parties, or just a specific time of year with the weather turns sour. Wrapping our time with Mike Proto from the New Jersey chapter of Americans for Prosperity, americansforprosperity.org/new-jersey, here on Issues and Ideas. About a minute left, minute and change left here. Is there a curiosity factor with the fact that the Department of Interior announces that they're auctioning off leases along the Jersey Shore for offshore wind power development? Does this, given how New Jersey is long claim, but facts are denying the idea of pay to play has been dead and buried, and favoritism is alive and well, that this is just going to be a boondoggle money machine for the few to make money off of while the majority gets taken to the cleaners.
Right. Look, there's no question about it. This is crony capitalism at its finest. We're subsidizing a product that people would otherwise not purchase in the marketplace. And when things go bad, it's the taxpayer that ends up holding the bag. And let me give you an example in the solar area here in New Jersey. Just a few years ago, the SREC prices crashed in New Jersey. Those are the credits that basically, when you have solar panels, you sell it back to the utilities, it's in the form of a credit. Those prices came crashing down. The whole market was imploding. So the governor and the legislature stepped in order to prop up the market. And according to New Jersey Spotlight, who ran an article on it, that is going to cost consumers $300 to $400 million in the state of New Jersey. $300 to $400 million just so they could prop up the prices of those credits.
Well, there's that one project from Sunline General that was for Sussex, Morris, and Somerset counties that just in Sussex County alone is leaving taxpayers on the hook for $6 million.
Right. That was a tri-county project. And, I mean, that was even worse than some of the things that we've seen here on the state level and even with things like Solyndra, which got $500 million in guaranteed loans. You had three freeholder boards in three different counties authorizing borrowing money to put solar panels on the top of public buildings. And as I was just mentioning, when that SREC market crashed, the whole plan just fell apart because the developer was never going to be able to sell back the power at the prices that they expected in order to pay back the bonds.
Learn more about this issue and find out how you can get proactive and make sure that common sense takes over against the whims and wishes and fantasies of others. AmericansForProsperity.org. If you're listening on the stream, that will cover you in general. But for New Jersey, it's /new-Jersey for the New Jersey chapter. You can do likewise for your specific state, wherever you are listening, to get involved and to make a difference and keep the voices that are trying to make claims to get them over to the factual side of things. And from Americans for Prosperity's New Jersey chapter, we've been joined this morning by Mike Proto. Mike, thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you again. I really appreciate it.